I just get a show of hands? Who here is actually married at the moment? Can I just get a show of hands? Okay, more than I thought, more than I expected. Okay, if you're not married, if you're not married at the moment, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. You need to hear this. And you need to hear this before you get married. You need to know what you're supposed to do in marriage and how to do marriage before you get there. Okay? It is a little bit like brain surgery, I think. If you're going in for brain surgery, you don't want your surgeon to be straight out of school, never having prepared to do brain surgery, do you? No. Same with marriage. You don't want to get there and say, hey, what do I do now? So you need to listen. I'm going to pray for us and ask God to help us to understand the Bible. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given it to us because you love us and you want us to know you and you want us to know how to live as your people in this world. We ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would enable us to understand this word and to live it out. And we pray, Father, this for your glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, marriage can be a little bit like going to McDonald's. That's right. You walk in, I think there's a slide, you walk in and you gaze up at the menu and your stomach skips a beat, does it not? At the sight of this gastronomic glory. Fresh, proud buns. Firm red tomatoes. Crisp, hydrated, green lettuce. And a thick, juicy slab of beef. Proudly sculptured into a majestic tower of culinary delight. And when you walk into McDonald's, all you want is one like that. One like the in the picture. But what you get is a soggy, soppy imitation of something remotely even edible. Yeah? And I tell you, it makes me mad, at least unhappy, because you're not getting what you expected. You're not getting what you hoped for. You're not getting what you thought you were going to get, and you're not getting what you paid for. Marriage can be just like that. See, people sign up for the picture, they sign up for the fantasy, they purchase the fairy tale, unfading beauty, unrelenting romance, unending Bruno Mars. But when the fantasy turns into the soggy reality of toenail clippings on the coffee table, of undies on the floor, pooey nappies, and when the fairy tale awakens one morning to a snoring, drooling, annoying regular person. People get mad because they're not getting what they expected. They're not getting what they hoped for. They're not getting what they thought they were going to get. And quite frankly, they're not getting what they paid for, because you pay a lot, believe me. And today, when this happens, a lot of people want to return what they got, don't they? They want to get a new one, hoping to get what they were hoping to get before. And what this attitude is doing is it's leading to many broken or many very sick marriages. The problem with this kind of attitude with marriage is that people have not understood that marriage actually is a far more earthy reality. and requires a far more profound understanding. And that brings us to the Bible, where God has given us His intention for marriage, His design for marriage, His plans and purposes for marriage. And so that's what we're going to look at. Now, I know you've been working through the book of Colossians. And Colossians and what it says on marriage, which was read to us, is pretty simple. And it's actually, I think, more of a summary of what the same writer, Paul the Apostle, says more fully in Ephesians chapter 5. So we're going to switch between the two tonight, the Colossians and Ephesians passages that were read. And I'm actually going to begin tonight with the husbands. Now, if you're taking notes, and you'll see there's no outline because I didn't get it in time, but the outline is very simple. Point one, husbands. Point two, wives. That's it. But both in Colossians and Ephesians, he addresses wives first and husbands second. I'm going to switch it around, and I think you'll see why as we're talking about it. So point one, husbands. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So what does that mean? What does it mean for husbands to love their wives? Well, men, yes, it means bring home the roses. Pull out the candles, the soft focus lenses, and lots of Bruno Mars. Yes, do that, men. But of course, it's much more than that and far deeper. If you look at the Ephesians 5 passage, and particularly verse 25, Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So the way a husband is to love his wife is to be modeled on the way that Christ has loved the church, which is his people. And the way Christ loved the church is explained there in verse 25, right at the end. And it says, when he gave himself up for her. So we need to understand that. How did Jesus do that? Well, we all know, firstly, that Jesus came from heaven, where life is perfect and painless, in order to live on earth. I mean, we're here. We don't want to go there. But he came from heaven to earth. And not only that, he was God. He was God, and he chose to become a human being. Imagine, we can't, but can you imagine being God saying, I'm going to give up heaven to become a human and live on earth? That'd be like moving from a mansion to a mud hut. Or if you're a prince, to be choosing to become a pauper. Why would Jesus do this? Why? Well, it was in order to give himself up for us. See, when Jesus came into the world, he came into a world and into a humanity that had turned its back on God. That's what sin is. That's what the Bible calls sin. And the Bible also tells us that the punishment for sin is death. But when Jesus gave himself up for us, when he came to earth, he did this in order to die for us and take the punishment of death for our sins for on our behalf. In other words, he gave himself up to take the punishment he did not deserve for sins he was not guilty of, so that we would not have to face the punishment of death that we did deserve for the sins that we were guilty of. And why would Jesus want to do that? It's because he loved us. He loved us so much, he did not want us to pay for our own sins. And so that's why he suffered. That's why he sacrificed himself. That's why he gave himself up for us. Loving us cost him his life. Giving himself up in love meant giving us his life. Everything. He didn't give us part of his life, all of it. It was total self-sacrificing love. And that, brothers, is how husbands are to love their wives. Just as Christ loved the church. Absolute love, total self-sacrifice. And that means the husband no longer lives for himself, but for his wife. Giving himself up for her means there is no more himself. Marriage for the husband, you see, is all about the wife. And notice there are no qualifications about loving your wife. You know, there's not, okay, love your wife if, blah, blah, blah. Or love your wife when? Nuh-uh. No. But what about when she's cranky and unreasonable? You still love her and give yourself up for her. But what about when I'm had a hard day at work and I'm tired? You still love her and give yourself up for her. What, you can't wash a dish because you're tired? What if I'm right and she's wrong, which happens once in every 50 years? You still love her and give yourself up for her. What if she hurt my feelings? What if she hurts my feelings? You still love her and give yourself up for her. But what about... You love her and give yourself up for her. But what about... You still love her, give yourself up for her. But... You still love her. You still love her and give yourself up for her. In practice, that means you put her first, her needs, even her wants. It means you cherish her and you never let her go. Even when she is at her worst, and you'll only see that in marriage, by the way. You still love her, because guess when God loved you? So when you were at your worst, God gave you his best. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church then means to be completely other person-centered, completely wife-centered. Is that you, husbands? Is that you? Colossians 3:19 says, love your wives, and also, do not be harsh. Do not be harsh with her. Harsh, to not be harsh means to be gentle and humble and gracious. Harshness is proud, selfish insensitivity. That's what it is. Are you harsh? How do you speak to your wife, husbands? How do you speak to your wife? And I don't mean when she's all pretty and nice and you're in a good mood. How do you speak to her when you fight? How do you speak to her when you're annoyed? How do you speak to her when you're tired? and had a bad day? How do you speak to your wife? Do you yell at her? Do you put her down? Do you humiliate her? Do you call her names? Do not be harsh. Are you harsh? And not according to what you think is harsh, but according to what she thinks is harsh, because I guarantee they're different. Husbands, you need to ask your wives tonight, am I harsh? If she says yes, you need to stop it now. You hear me? You need to stop it. You be humble. And you be a man. And stop being harsh, because any coward can bully his wife. Stop it. Instead, love her like Christ loved the church, because he would never treat us like that. The command of God to husbands, love your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you're a husband here, ask yourself then, how are you going loving your wife? And if you really want to know how you're going, ask your wife. And humbly listen to her answer. And a really good question to ask her is this: how hard is it to submit to me? How hard is it to submit to me? Because if she's having trouble submitting to you, you're probably not loving her the way you should. I reckon that's pretty scary to ask your wife. But do it. Point two. Wives. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And again, for a fuller understanding and explanation of this, we go to Ephesians 5 verse 22. Ephesians 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, to say these days that someone should submit to another, that's just offensive, isn't it? Especially when you're talking about a woman submitting to a man. It's outrageous in an age where women are finally coming out of oppression. No one can possibly still believe that women must submit to men and wives must submit to husbands. That's old-fashioned and insulting. But ladies, please understand this and please listen carefully. Please. If wives do not believe in submitting to their husbands, understand this, please. You are telling your husband not to love you. Say it again. If wives do not believe in submitting to their husbands, they are telling their husbands not to love them. What do I mean? Let me explain. Firstly, when the Bible talks about submission here, it is not talking about being a doormat. The Bible never means that when it talks about submission. Submission here is essentially to let the husband do his job in marriage. Wives are to let their husbands love them totally and self-sacrificially. That's what it means to submit. They can't do that. They cannot love you unless you let them. In a marriage done God's way, understand, wives have a man who has promised before God and before witnesses to love you like Christ loved the church, to give himself up for you as Christ gave himself up for the church. You have a man who has promised to do anything and everything for your good above his own, to do all he can to meet your needs and your desires, your hopes and dreams, even if it means at the expense of his own. And God says your role is to let him do it. That means to submit. That's what it means to submit, to let him love you. Being a wife in God's design for marriage is supposed to be like going for a massage. I love massages. When you lie there on the table and they have that soothing music going, or the little waterfall sounds and the little birdies, and they have those candles around the room and all that nice smelling stuff, and you lie there and they're soothing away your aches and your pains. Well, I love it. What you are doing is you're submitting yourself to the person giving you the massage. They're trying to do good for you. You've got to let them. You don't go for a massage. And when the massage person says, you know, lie down and just relax, you don't say, no way, I submit to no one. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? In the same way, wives are to submit to the loving sacrifice of the husband who is giving himself up for her. And that submission is in verse 22, as you do to the Lord. And verse 24, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. Again, the model of submission to husbands is submission to Jesus. And notice, like the love of husbands before, there are no conditions placed here on submission. We don't place conditions on submitting to Jesus, do we? We don't say, Jesus, I'll only submit to you if I'm having a good day. I'll only submit to you if you don't ask me to do that. No, we don't do that with Jesus. We say, what you say, there I will go, and that is what I'll do. Same with husbands and wives. They're not to place conditions on their submission. But what about when he's cranky? Well, you still submit as you do to the Lord. But what if I'm tired? I've had a hard day. The kids have been a pain. It was a bad day at work. You still submit as you do to the Lord. But what if I'm right and he's wrong, which is always? You still submit as you do to the Lord. What if he's hurt my feelings? You still submit as you do to the Lord. Now remember, in God's design, he's supposed to be loving you sacrificially. But sometimes he will get it wrong because he's human. But you still submit as to the Lord. Now, just a quick side point here. I am not condoning staying around to be abused physically or emotionally or psychologically on the grounds that women are or wives are to submit. It is a separate issue, I think, and there's a lot more to it than that. And if you find yourself in that situation, you need to speak to your pastors. Or you can come and talk to me afterwards, after tonight. All right. But this is not condoning abuse in any way, shape, or form. And husbands to be, don't ever, ever abuse your wife in any way. Do not do it. It is weak. It is pathetic. It's cowardly. And it is unloving. Do not ever do it. So in terms of God's design for marriage, back to the main thing, the husband loves, the wife lets him. That's how God designed it. Now, does that mean that the husband makes all the decisions? Because verse 23 says he's the head. Well, no. I don't think it does at all. When it says in verse 23 that the husband is the head of the wife, notice it does not say the husband is the bossy boots of the wife or the bossy boots of the family. As it talks about headship in verse 23, you're talking about the headship of Jesus, which headship in marriage is modeled on. When you talk about headship, you'd think they would use terms for Jesus like Lord or Master or King. That's what we usually associate with headship. But it doesn't, in reference to Jesus, use that title at all, does it? Look at verse 23. It talks about Christ as the head of the church, of which he is the Saviour. That surprises me. As Saviour and head, the connection is between headship and Saviour. What did he do as Saviour? Well, he showed his headship by sacrificially giving himself up for his bride. That's what the head does. Gives himself for those whom he serves. And so the husband, who is not only loving, but smart, husbands to be, take some notes. The husband who is loving and smart, he will discuss decisions with his wife. Taking notes, husbands to be, discuss it with your wife to find out what she thinks, to find out what she wants. One, because men are thick. Men, you are thick. I don't know, I'm smart, I got this in the T-H-T. No, you are thick. Men, you are thick. Get it? And second reason, you should discuss it with your wife. Wives, please listen. And wives-to-be, please listen. Men cannot read your minds. You think they can, but they cannot. You say, isn't that obvious? No, it is not. Remember, we're thick. And then once we get it, you change your mind. And you don't tell us. Please tell us. So men, talk to your wives in decision making. And 99% of the time, you'll make joint decisions. It's a smart way to go. That's how you are head. That's how you lead. Let's talk about this. What do you think is best for you? Now, there will be times when you still can't come to agreement. And that's where the husband, as the sacrificial, serving, put the wife first person in the marriage, needs to genuinely and honestly seek to do what is best for his wife, not himself. That's how it works. You know, wives and wives-to-be, you're doubly blessed in life. You are. See, men will only ever have one person willing to give themselves up for them. That is the Lord Jesus. Wives, you have two, Jesus and your husband. You let Christ love you by submitting to his love for you, in the same way you let your husband love you by submitting to his love for you. If you don't submit to his love, you're basically telling him not to love you. You see? And let me say that, you know, Western social commentary has hijacked this word submission to mean something different, quite different from the Bible. Submission in the Bible does not mean women are inferior in some way. The Bible talks about women submitting because women have the power and the value not to do so. If they didn't have a choice, the Bible wouldn't need to tell you to do it. It would just happen. But it's a choice, ladies, that you make so that husbands can fulfill the mandate that God has given them to love you as Christ loved the church. And so, wives, how are you going at submitting? Do you submit to your husband as to the Lord? And one way to tell how you're going is to ask your husband how easy am I to love. Because if he's finding it hard, good chance you're probably not submitting the way you ought to be. Now, I know that many of you also are not married. Let me just briefly say a couple of things to you by application. If you are hoping to be married, and I imagine most of you in here are hoping to be married if you're not already, I already know. You can't fool me. You spend a lot of time looking, don't you, for that special one. I know. And you get anxious about it. And you think about, you do, I know, you think about how you might impress with generally the way you look, don't you? Whilst you do need to look, because that's how our system works, although anyone who wants an arranged marriage, I'm happy to. But generally, you like to look for yourself, and I get that. But can I say this to you? It's actually more important that you spend energy on preparing to be the right person. I know you need to look for the right person, but spend your energy preparing to be the right person. Okay? So for guys, you know, in marriage, you ought to love your wife sacrificially. So prepare to do that by loving others now. Start loving others now sacrificially. The best practice you can get for being a husband that loves his wife sacrificially is to love other people now sacrificially. Because I'll tell you what, and I mean this in all seriousness, it's going to be much harder to love your wife sacrificially. So get practice loving others sacrificially first. I don't know, it's hard to imagine because you're thinking, oh, you're thinking the Big Mac marriage, aren't you? The Big Mac pitcher marriage. It's not always like that. So get practice now. Loving others sacrificially. And for the girls, if in marriage you are to humbly submit to your husband as to the Lord, the best way to prepare to be that person is to make sure that now you are working on submitting to the Lord. Yeah? Work on submitting to Jesus. The best practice for submitting to your husband as to the Lord is to practice submitting to the Lord. That's how you prepare yourself. In other words, work on being the person that someone who is godly would want to marry. Work on that. And can I also say, when you're looking for the husband then, ladies, look for the husband who loves others. Because good chance they'll love you that way. Look at the guy who loves God's people sacrificially. They're struggling loving God's people sacrificially. They'll struggle loving you sacrificially. So go for that guy. And guys, look for the wife who will humbly submit. And the way to tell is, how does this girl humbly submit to the Lord Jesus? Look for the girl that does that. And more likely, she'll be able to submit to your love. Now I know, yes, I know I'm old. Far too, I know when you're looking for someone. You just can't, it's hard to go past looks. I get that. The pretty face, whether you're a guy or a girl. You know, the beautiful hair, the nice body, the attractive smile. What do you like? Oh, I love their smile. But remember, the toothy grins, the toothy smiles on faces today are the dentures on bedside tables tomorrow. So look past the looks. Go for godly substance, people. Godly substance. And just finally, there may be some of you here today who by choice or circumstance, and maybe some of you here into the future, by choice or circumstance, are either not looking to get married or just struggling because you're not. This is important to you too. And it's important because you're part of God's family still. And I know this brings pain to many people, but can I encourage you, if that is your situation, you can still pray for your brothers and sisters who are married in your church family. And this is what you pray for them, that the husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church, and the wives will submit to the sacrifice, the self-sacrificing love of their husbands. And you can pray for them and encourage them in this, because it's really hard to love someone who is still an imperfect and sinful person. And it's really hard to submit to someone who is still an imperfect, sinful person. And so even though it's not your situation, would you pray for them? Would you do that? So marriage according to the Bible, in the end, is like carrying a priceless crystal teacup through a herd of stampeding elephants. Doesn't come to mind immediately, does it? But a fine crystal teacup, carrying that through a stampeding herd of elephants. The wife is the fine crystal teacup. And the husband is to take care of this cup with the elephant tearing towards him. He's to take care of this above his own well-being and interest, no matter what the hurt or hardship, the sacrifice or suffering. His life is given for the sake of the cup. And why? It's because of the cup's value. And the wife is to let him do it. And not because she's weak, but because she's precious. And not because she is lesser, but because she is loved. And not because she is inferior, but because she is invaluable. Do this, and as far as the fairy tale and the fantasy of marriage is concerned, when it gets soggy, and it will, the husband loves the wife as Christ loved us. If the wife lets him, then soggy can be overcome. Yeah. And even though it's not like the picture, I think you'll also find that soggy actually ain't so bad. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the wondrous gift of marriage. Thank you that you give it to us to bless us. Father, help us to do marriage, whether we're married or yet to be married. Help us to do it your way, according to how you have designed it, for we know that this is what brings your blessing. Father, please, by your Spirit, help husbands and husbands-to-be to love their wives as Christ has loved us. And please enable, by your Spirit, wives and wives-to-be to submit to their husbands and to let their husbands love them. And Father, we pray this for your glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen.